The coronavirus is dominating the news, and local officials are scrambling to react and get the word out about measures individuals can take to keep themselves and their families safe from COVID-19. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition, show number 56. Today we'll hear from Colonel Ross Poppenberger, commander of the Army's Yuma Proving Ground, about how one of the nation's premier military facilities, which is also a community, is responding to COVID-19. We'll hear how military experience and calm is keeping things on track. But first, Arizona Senator Martha McSally released a public service announcement this week urging Arizonans to stay home and protect the vulnerable in our community. McSally says it's up to us to flatten the curve, a term we're hearing a lot lately. We'll learn more about that and hear her message to young people. I began our conversation by asking what the tipping point was for her to release the PSA and call for people to stay home. We spoke Friday just after local officials announced the first presumptive positive test result for COVID-19 in Yuma County.
Well, this is an unprecedented situation that we're in, and we still don't have perfect knowledge about this virus in many cases because of lack of transparency from China, where it originated, and we're studying it as it moves and spreads. Clearly, it's extremely contagious, and what we've learned from experts is this new term you may have heard called flattening the curve. And over time, I think people have realized they've gone from, well, maybe it's not going to come here, to maybe it's here, but it's not going to impact me because I'm young and healthy. And now everybody needs to realize we're all in this together. I know there's a lot of fear and anxiety out there, but we're not helpless. We can each do our part by social distancing, by staying away from other people. We stop it from spreading rapidly throughout our communities, because if it spreads rapidly, then it will spread to nurses and doctors and nursing home staff, and then it will get to the vulnerable, the elderly, the sick, people with underlying conditions. So what we're trying to do is save their lives by our actions, and also protect the healthcare workers who are on the front lines providing care. We don't want to overwhelm the healthcare system. You see what's going on in Italy, where they've run out of beds and equipment and things like that. And so if we can get ahead of this by flattening that curve through our own behavior, and I know this is challenging for people economically, we're working on getting relief on the way to individuals, families, seniors, and small businesses, but we can all do our part to flatten that curve so it doesn't spread rapidly, so our healthcare system can care for those who get sick.
And let's stick with that flattening the curve term for people who aren't quite understanding it. Understanding is, and maybe you can and help me with this analogy. So if say Yuma Regional Medical Center has 30 beds that can handle coronavirus COVID-19 cases, but 40 people show up for those beds, we want to flatten those numbers down so that it's 30 or below, so that capacity can be met. Is that the right way to explain flattening the curve?
That's a good way to explain it, but you can also go to listen to our public service announcement. I actually use some illustrations here so you can see it. If we do nothing, this is a pandemic, it's highly contagious, it will spread very quickly as we go about our daily business, going to restaurants, going shopping, going to work. And many people, it appears, can have the virus but not have symptoms. Other people could have the virus, but maybe they think they have allergies or colds. And while they're going and interacting with other people, it rapidly spreads. So what you would see is, left to its own devices, the spread will be quick and fast, and then the vulnerable, the elderly, and the sick will get it at a very high rate, and that will overwhelm the capacity at our hospitals. And you will have nurses and doctors and others who get sick and can't care for people. But if we stay home, wash our hands, wipe down surfaces, telework if we can, don't go to restaurants, just do everything we can to stay away from other people, then we actually slow down that spread, and we give time for the healthcare workers to tend to the sick who do need their care, but they show up at a more manageable rate instead of all at one time. Does that make sense?
It does. Your PSA makes a real point of protecting the vulnerable. Could you reiterate who those vulnerable are and what we need to do to protect them?
Yes. Well, what we know from experts is the vulnerable are for sure the elderly. We all have parents and grandparents in this category, or neighbors. This is the greatest generation, too. Those who saved the world from tyranny are World War II veterans, also, Korea and Vietnam veterans. The vulnerable are also those with underlying health conditions at any age. somebody who just went through chemotherapy, somebody who has heart disease or lung issues, respiratory issues, across the board, anybody who has a health issue is considered vulnerable and can be deeply impacted. Again, we're learning a lot about this virus as we go. There are a significant number of young people who are needing care and hospitalization. It appears many of them do have underlying health conditions. So this is about us helping each other. I think, you know, this unprecedented challenge could bring out the worst in us, people being selfish and fighting over toilet paper at the store, or it could bring out the best in us, where we realize our actions could literally save lives, save those seniors' lives, save those vulnerable lives by washing our hands and staying home and staying away from people and not hoarding food. But also, if you are able to, check in on your neighbors.
Right.
If you have an elderly or a person who is in that category, go shopping for them. Bring it to their doorstep. Now's not a time to visit because you could be carrying the virus unknowingly and you don't want to give it to them. It's extremely challenging. Grandparents want to hug their grandchildren. Now's not the time to do that because the kid could be carrying it. People can volunteer at the food banks. They need healthy people. They can donate blood, but make an appointment. It's very safe to donate blood. There's so many things that we can do while we also stay away from groups of people and keep ourselves and our families healthy.
I get the challenge too is trying to keep people and their livelihoods going, trying to keep an economy going, but this is just too big a risk, right?
It is. And, it's not sustainable for us to do this forever, but for the short term, for us to be able to, as a community, a state, and a country, to flatten that curve while we continue to invest in making more equipment for our healthcare workers, to increase capacity, to work the science for treatments. A vaccine is, many months to come, but treatments may become available if we can slow this down. While we in Congress are working around the clock on getting economic relief to people to pay their bills, pay their rent, pay for food, and then also small businesses so they can be ready to hire people back quickly or keep people on their payrolls through taxpayer-funded resources. So when we get on the other side of this, we can get back to normal and do it with minimum destruction economically.
What I appreciate about your message is that it puts the power in the hands of the people. It makes it a choice for them to engage in society and be out or not. Because there are different communities in Arizona that have different restrictions, but at some point, everyone will need to probably follow your advice.
Yep. Exactly. Look, when China first, again, I don't believe everything China says, but they're a totalitarian communist regime and they immediately locked down 70 million people. We're a free society, so we're first asking, pleading for people to listen to this guidance and make good choices. You can still go get takeout, bring it home, go to a drive-thru, bring it home. Don't be choosing to be sitting down in these places where a lot of people are interacting with each other, inadvertently spreading this virus. So we can do our part, but when you see that's not taken seriously, then you see more measures happening in communities because they just have to do it in order to protect others. But I trust when people get this message, they will understand how important it is. We're not helpless. We don't need to be fearful. This is a challenge. We will come out of it. We will prevail. But we each can save lives by our behavior and our choices today.
And just a couple of questions. Again, I appreciate your time. There are populations in the state of Arizona on both sides of the political spectrum that are predisposed to distrust anything they hear from the federal government. I saw a comment this morning mentioning concerns over this being the precursor to martial law. Speak to these populations, if you will. They range from radical to moderate, but they are all under the same threat now.
Right. I understand, and I've come across that with a lot of our constituents. They don't believe the media. They don't believe the government. And I would just ask them, believe the experts. See what's happening around the globe. Look at what's happening in Italy. They didn't take seriously this virus. They didn't shut down travel from China like we did. Their healthcare system is overwhelmed right now, and they're unable to provide care for everybody. So please just look at the facts. trust where you're getting, you know, be careful where you're getting your information, but the spread of this virus does not lie. And the experts will tell you this is our opportunity to stop it by our choices in a free society. While we help each other, we get through this and we come out stronger.
And last question, Senator, while there is no necessary panic, there's certainly concern, even fear in Arizona communities. Speak, if you will, especially to young people who think they're not at risk. You address this a bit in your PSA.
Absolutely. First of all, we shouldn't be paralyzed by fear. There is legitimate concern, both for the care of the vulnerable and also for our healthcare workers and people's economic livelihood. I get it. We need to get through this together. The federal government, state government, local governments, the faith-based sector, community individuals. It's an all of America approach to this, and that includes the young generation. I remember that age where you feel like you're invincible and nothing can touch you. The reality is you may get this virus and never know about it, but if you don't listen to what we're asking you to do, your actions could help spread it faster, and then that puts our vulnerable at risk. So the flip side of that is the actions you take to take this seriously, you can save lives right now. As I said in my message, it's up to my generation and the younger generation to save the greatest generation. We can do it. We just need to take it seriously and be selfless and work together to get through this.
And Senator, any prospects of you getting home to ride this out here in your home state?
Well, right now we're kind of on a wartime footing here in Washington, D.C. We need to make sure that we are getting this next relief package out there that will provide hopefully checks to individuals and families and seniors and small businesses to get through this. So that's our primary focus right now. At the appropriate time, if it makes sense for us to be back in Arizona, we'll be doing that. But right now, it's an honor to be representing Arizona here and making sure that we're hearing from our constituents and getting relief on the way quickly.
And finally, what if any extra steps are you taking to make sure that you're getting to your constituents, or any extra, for example, Facebook posts or videos, that kind of stuff?
So we've done the public service announcement. We'd ask people to spread that as wide and far as possible. Our social media posts, we're sending out newsletters. We've created a section on our website. We're doing a lot of local media, like we're doing right now. And also, we're doing many conference calls. We've had several with small business owners. I'm talking to the mayors, talking to healthcare CEOs, talking to county health officials. We're doing everything we can to make sure we understand the needs. And then we go to the federal government to identify and figure out how to break through the logjam, and then do all we can together to get the message out to everybody as fast as possible.
Thank you, Senator McSally. It's so important that we hear from our leadership at this time. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to speak with us.
Absolutely. All the best.
All the best to you. That is Arizona Senator Martha McSally. You can see her public service announcement urging Arizonans to stay home on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/KAWC radio. It's also available on Senator McSally's YouTube channel. This is Arizona Edition. We'll be right back. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. The Army's Yuma Proving Ground is one of the premier military installations in the country. It's also generally pretty busy. So how is the base responding to the coronavirus threat? I spoke with the commander of YPG, Colonel Ross Poppenberger. First off, as a kind of mayor, and we've talked about your sort of mayoral responsibilities out there, how is the community of YPG responding to this current coronavirus crisis and news reports from around locally and the world?
Well, you know, the one thing that I always do, Lou, is to help frame, do a frame of reference for the workforce. So we've got a mission out here at YPG, and our mission is to come in day in and day out and provide world-class test center for our customers and support of the national warfighter. And so our workforce overall takes that mission to heart. And so I continue to reiterate that fact that as the world can fall down around us, I think if the average person, you know, keeps their eye on, you know, what's important, why we wake up in the morning and why we come into work, I think some of these other distractors, you know, kind of take a back burner. And I know we're not talking about The issue that happened a couple months ago with the Iranians shooting some missiles, but there was a lot of concern from the workforce there. Hey, are we going to World War III at this point? And, you know, as there was a lot of unknown on what we were going to do, I sent an email out to the workforce, sending my mission statement out, and just reminded everybody, hey, this is what we do. This is why we do what we do. I did something similar earlier this week. I just, you know, framed that, hey, there's some things we can control and there's some things we can't. There's nothing we can do, you know, other than you know, the personal hygiene practices that the Center for Disease Control is putting out to focus on, you know, hey, wash your hands more, do some of those things. Outside of that, you know, do some social distancing, don't travel. You know, outside of that, there's not a lot we can do, but what we can do is we can come in and do our daily mission. I reiterated to the workforce that we are open for business, and we're going to continue to conduct testing, because at the end of the day, once we're beyond this short-term, hopefully short-term crisis, we need to get back to work, and all of our program customers are going to have a lot of work coming down the pipeline that we need to be able to, you know, re-energize and get moving for the tests that have been on pause.
So you view your responsibility really as sort of keeping things moving and setting a good tone.
Absolutely, yep. So you know, we are, you know, within the constraints of things we can do. Obviously, we've stopped travel, and we're restricting, you know, across the government, you know, travel stops. So we don't have our program customers coming in, you know, so that's a good thing. So they're not bringing any potential bugs with them here, because they're not coming. But there's a lot of things that we can do without them being here. And so those are the things that we are doing. We're taking a look across the board to say, hey, okay, so this particular test just got put on pause for the next couple weeks. Well, what about all those other things that we've put on the back burner that we couldn't get to? Well, now we're pulling those out and we're doing those. And specifically, there's some things we call lot acceptance testing. So that's when the manufacturers at the different armament manufacturers produce different lots of ammunition. Well, that comes out here to YPG, and we test that stuff. But that's a little bit lower priority test generally than the next new cannon that we're developing. So we've been so busy focused on the extended range cannon artillery and some of those new development projects. And now what we're doing is we're going back and we're taking some of those ammunition lots and we're shooting those to get ahead of the game on the ammunition lot acceptance testing. The other thing that we're doing is we're turning on some private industry tests that we've over the last few months have kind of put on a low simmer on the back burner. We're gonna be bringing those forward and doing some of those sorts of things.
Does the military follow the same recommendations from the CDC that everyone else would follow?
Yep, absolutely. You know, we're doing social distancing. You know, case in point, a lot of our meetings, we're limiting the number of meeting participants actively sitting in a conference room to 10 or less. We're utilizing the use of teleconferencing, and we're also leaning far forward on teleworking. You know, so, you know, a lot of our folks that come into the office day in and day out, they can do their functions at home. We're keeping them at home. So as we speak right now, we're about 30% of the workforce on telework. By next week, we're looking to expand that to about 40% of our telework staying, 40% of our workforce staying home and teleworking.
YPG is actually quite a little self-contained community, but you're obviously part of a larger community. How do you keep up, how do you communicate with local leadership in, say, Yuma and surrounding area in terms of your role in what might happen in the future?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So, you know, obviously we monitor all the news sources. You know, I've got my public affairs officer, Mark Schauer. He sits in on all the key Yuma meetings and provides feedback and reports. You know, so that keeps us tied into the local community here. And then, you know, nationally, as a matter of fact, the reason why I'm 30 minutes late with you is because I've been on a long teleconference with my higher headquarters in Aberdeen, Maryland. And, you know, through their channels, you know, they're getting a tremendous amount of feeds from around the world. And so they're feeding those sorts of things to me. And it's a two-way street on communication, reporting back and forth.
I have no idea if battlefield lessons are instructive for you or your personnel now in terms of how to deal with this. You spoke a little bit about just sort of keeping focused. What about military life might make it easier or perhaps harder to handle a situation like this?
Well, these are tough times for anybody. But you know what I'll say, Lou, is our organization is predominantly civilian. Now we've got a lot of our workforce that you know did serve in some capacity, you know, many retirees, but we have a large number of our workforce that never did serve. So they're Department of the Army civilians, just like many other civilians. So I would say, you know, across the board, you know, people are pretty resilient, you know, and that's what we look at. And what one of the things that we do as military leaders or any leaders is we educate and we inform. And so I think that's the thing that helps people stay focused. You know, just like I talked about, hey, you know, talk to my workforce. Hey, remember, your mission is this. We're going to remain open for business. We're going to continue on. You know, let's boil this down to, you know, do we need to panic or not? And I think cooler heads always prevail. And so I look at it as, you know, hey, we're going to stay open for business. We're going to focus on our mission. You know, we're not going to get, you know, caught up in the hype. But what we are going to do is we're going to, you know, follow the guidance of the experts from the CDC, which is, you know, social distancing, spend more time washing your hand, don't gather in large groups. Some of the other things that I've done too is you know, I have you know, shut down some of the things that we do. Like we had a intramural bowling league here on post that we just recently canceled. But short of some of those larger, you know, group formation things, you know, we're continuing on, and we're just focusing on our mission and what we have to do. And I guess that's what we do as military leaders. And as I look across, you know, industry, they're doing the same things as I talk with my industry business partners as well.
And last question, and part of the reason I wanted to speak with you is we're gathering the voices of leaders in the community, in part because there is some stress out there. There is uncertainty. There is concern. What's your general message to the community about managing that fear and managing that worry? I know you've already sort of addressed that a little bit.
So, again, as with anything, as with any leader, you know, I want to stay within my lane. So my lane is Yuma Proving Ground. I personally think, you know, some of the things that I've seen Mayor Nichols put out has been fantastic. On some of the guidance that the community is saying, you know, from, you know, within my swim lane here at YPG, the things that I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, team, look, you know, let's follow the guidance that's put out by our national leaders and, you know, the smart folks at the CDC. Let's institute those good hygiene practices, and let's focus on our mission, you know, until we have a change in mission. And so as we have some things that we just can't do because we're not having people travel in, you know, as leaders, we're looking at, you know, kind of, you know, doing some housekeeping, so to speak. So the guidance is, you know, focus on your mission, whatever it is, in whatever industry or business you're in, focus on your mission, and those are the things to do. And, you know, we're going to get past this thing. You know, we are going to get past it. So that's the confidence right there that I have.
Colonel Ross Poppenberger, commander of the Army's Yuma Proving Ground. Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Lou.
That's Arizona Edition for this week. We'll continue to reach out to local leaders and others as the state and our community deal with the coronavirus pandemic. You can get our most updated content on our website, kawc.org. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC.